Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Vav, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Hey Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Mekabel Sodom Mechaveroi. If somebody leases a property from somebody else, Vach L'Chogov or Nishtafa, and the property was either affected by insects or there was a wind that destroyed the crap. In Makas Medina, if this is something that is happening all over, Menaklem Mechikari, he has a right to deduct from the rent. In Makas Medina, but if it's not a Makas Medina, in Menaklem Mechikari, he has no right to deduct from the rent. Rehuda says, Im Kibla Himena B'mos, as we learned at the beginning of our perek, there are actually two ways to pay to lease a property. One is to pay by paying with produce, and one is to pay by paying with money. Says the Mishnah, if the way this lease is taking place is that he's paying with money, not paying with produce, Benkach, it makes no difference what happened. The loch is Imnaklam Chakaroi, he does not deduct from the rent. And as I learned, as Rashi says, our Mishnah is referring to a situation of leasing, and the Mishnah is discussing when one may deduct from the lease agreement. There are Mefarshim that want to suggest that the Rambam's opinion is that our Mishnah is even referring the situation of arisus, of sharecropping, that the Mishnah is teaching us that even in a case of sharecropping, there also, if there was such a situation, he has a right to back out, to take off. The question is, how does he have, if he's a sharecropper, how do we understand deduction? So Farshim explain, if that's what the Rambam means, they say what the Rambam means to say here is that he's a right to deduct by saying that he wants to, that he had already put in expenses into the field, and now he wants to back out from those expenses by saying that he should not have had to pay him because of this Makas Medina. Mefarshim also point out that this question unfortunately came up fairly recently in our times, and that is when in Eretz Yisrael the bombs were falling in the north and they had to evacuate very many areas of the country. The question comes up, do the people who live there have a right to deduct from the rent? Based on what we're learning in our Mishnah, it was certainly a Makas Medina. It was certainly a calamity that affected all the entire region of Eretz Yisrael. And many Paiskim suggest that they had every right to deduct from the rent. There are those that suggest that they only had a right, that they only should deduct half of the rent that was due, not all of the rent that was due. Furthermore, I saw Paiskim discuss, what's the halacha? Again, in the same question, when there were areas of a country that were evacuated because of a serious situation and people had paid tuition to the yeshivas, do they have a right to deduct them? Do they have a right to hold back the tuition? Similar question as our question, as our Shaila, and the Paiskim, some Paiskim suggest again that there's certainly a right to deduct. In fact, I saw the Paiskim that want to suggest that there's more of a heter in a situation of tuition that there is in a situation of rental, because here it's a person that was hired for a job, that the job could not be fulfilled. Again, the way I saw most Paiskim suggested then that some sort of a compromise should be reached between the parents and the yeshiva. So the Gemara discussed the Makas Medina, and that in a situation of a Makas Medina, the leaser, the renter, has a right to deduct from the rent. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Makas Medina, when is it considered a situation of a Makas Medina? Amar Yehuda, Kigoin the Ishtav Ruba de Baga. And most of the area where the field was found, there was destruction, the fields weren't growing, then the halach is that you could deduct the rent. Ula Amar, Ula on the other hand holds, Kigoin Shinishtat for Avris Sodois Mabaruchuseha. If four fields around this field were all destroyed, that is a raya that it's a Makas Medina. Most Mefarshim suggest that Ula and Rabbi Yehuda are actually arguing. And the way they explain the basis of the machlokes between Ula and Rabbi Yehuda is we need to have a situation of roiv. The question is, what constitutes a roiv? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have roiv of the people of that area having been adversely affected. And that's why he says you have to have most of the fields in that area have been destroyed. Ula, on the other hand, looks not at the people, but rather looks at the place. And therefore, according to Ula, most of the area where the field is, that is enough to be considered a Makas Medina. Certainly, Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with Ula's opinion. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have most of the fields in the area that it should be considered a Makas Medina. The question that comes up is, does Ula argue with Rabbi Yehuda? Most Rishonim, that's what it seems that Rashi holds, the Ran, hold that Ula disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. However, I did see that the Ravid holds that Ula does not necessarily argue on Rabbi Yehuda, rather Ula is offering another way that it could be a Makas Medina. Not only if most of the fields in the area, as Rabbi Yehuda said, will it be considered a situation of Makas Medina, but Ula comes to add that if the four fields around the field that was leased are also destroyed, Ula says that also will be considered a Makas Medina, but not that he's necessarily arguing on Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Ula, Amu Ula. So Ula said, concerning his position, Ba'amar Marav, they asked a number of questions in Eretz Yisrael in trying to understand this position. Nishtav Telem Echad Apnei Kulamai. One row around the field that was leased was also destroyed. But it's only that row of the field around the field under consideration that was ruined. Is that considered a situation of Makas Medina or not? Or on the other hand, question is, Nishtayim Telem Echad Apnei Kulamai. The fields around the field under discussion were all devastated. However, the row adjacent to the field under consideration was left or right. Will that still be considered a situation of Makas Medina? Or, if the Kabira Mai, if between the field that is under consideration and the fields near it, there were empty fields. And therefore we can't tell what would have been if they were planted, because they're left empty. But the fields after those empty fields, which are the closest planted fields to the field under discussion, were ruined. Is that a situation of Makas Medina or not? Aspasa, if the field next to the field that was leased wasn't ruined, but it was a field that was planted with aspasa, which is a cheap crop. It's a food that was given to animals. Will that make a difference? Or perhaps can we suggest that aspasa, given that it's such a inexpensive product, it doesn't really prove to a field that has a good product. Zera achamai. And as the Mefarshim explained, one question here is based on another question. Aspasa, we're suggesting, may not be a proof to the field that we're discussing, because as we describe the aspasa, it's animal feed. But what would be if the field next to the field that's being discussed was planted with some other type of product? A good product, a quality product, but it's not the same. Can that be considered a raya, or is the fact that that field was undamaged not really going to be a proof because it's a different type of product? And if we'll say that if it's a different type of product, therefore it can't be considered a raya, ask the Gemara, chita l'gabesoyrim. What will be our halacha if one field, the field, let's say, that was leased, was planted with barley, and the other fields were planted with wheat? Do we consider chita and soyrim as one type of crop? Or, kizer achadam iloy, is it considered like different types of crops or not? Another question. Kol oilam kula b'shadofen, the fields around were affected by the wind, v'shloy b'yirokin, his field was yellowed because of a drought. Inami, or vice versa. Kol oilam kula b'yirokin, v'shloy b'shadofen. Mai, wal b'yiraloch. And as the Meiri points out, certainly, if there were two totally different types of destruction involved, we can't bring a raya from one situation to the other situation. However, our Gemara's question is in a situation of specifically of Shadofen and Yerokin, where the Gemara wants to consider Shadofen and Yerokin one type of devastation. The Gemara remains with a take on all these questions. Ask the Gemara another question. If the landlord told the tenant, plant the field with wheat, and he went and planted it with barley, and most of the fields in that area got destroyed, and the barley that was planted by the tenant was also ruined. Mai, what is the halacha? Mi aminin, do we say to Amalei that the tenant could argue, ila zerat achita, if I had planted wheat, have a nami mishtatfa, it also would get ruined. And therefore this should be a situation of a makas medina, where I should have a right to reduce the rent. A derba matz Amalei, or perhaps the landlord could argue, had you planted what you were supposed to plant, the wheat that you were supposed to plant, have Makaimbi, we would have here a situation that, as the Pasuk says in Eov, the Tigza Oyma V'yakimloch. Though a person davens, he gets what he davens for. And as the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, the landlord rented the property with the understanding that the tenant will plant wheat there. And because he was under that impression, when he davened for the success of the field, he davened that the wheat planted should be succeed. Because he assumed that the tenant was doing as was agreed upon. And the tefillos that we are mispalo, explained the Mefarshim, for them to be successful, have to be accurate. In fact, the Meshech Chochmah says there is a makar, there's a source for this approach in the Torah. The Pasuk says, V'yishma Knani Melech Arad Yoishev HaNegev. And Rashi says, who was the one that came to attack Klal Yisrael at that time? It was Amalek. And Rashi explains that Amalek deliberately spoke not their native tongue, but rather spoke Loshon Kanaan, in order to confuse Klal Yisrael, assuming that it was the Kanaanim attacking them, not the Amalekim, and therefore they will daven to be able to prevail over the Kanaanim, and that's why they would be able, and that was the Amalekim's plan, because then the tefillos would not be accurate. And here too, if the landlord is davening for wheat, but there's really barley planted, that's why his tefillos weren't answered. Mistabra, and the Gemara indeed says, the Amalei, that the landlord's claim is a legitimate claim. He could say, Izarat achiti, had you planted the wheat that we agreed upon, that we agreed that that's what you would plant here, have Mekaimbi, The pasuk says, "V'tigz arm of Yakim loch v'adurchecha noiga or." By me having daven for wheat, my tefillas would have been answered, but I didn't daven the proper tefilla because you didn't plant what we agreed you would plant. And from here, the mafarsh and say, we see the power of tefilla, as the mafarshim point out. How do we know? We're talking about an individual who's not necessarily a tzaddik. How do we know that his tefillas will be answered? Say the mafarshim, from here we see that everybody's tefillah, even if he's not such a great person, can and should be considered to be answered. And that's why this person could say, if you would have done as we agreed upon, my tefillas certainly would have been fulfilled. In fact, I saw that the Mepharshim say, from here we see that this is the makar why a goyrel is successful. Because again, if we're relying on a Kadosh Baruch Hu and we do a goyrel, again, if it's done properly with the right intent, it's like the tefillah that's done with the right intent that can be successfully listened to. So I saw the Mepharshim ask, if so, when we in Shemoneh Esrei every day, three times a day, daven Baruch Aleinu, we don't necessarily specify our various businesses that we are mentioning. We just say Baruch Aleinu. So here we're saying that in order for the tefillah to be properly answered, we have to specify. Here in Baruch Aleinu, we're not specifying. So the Mepharshim say, that is the power of tefillah b'tzibur. The Shemoneh Esrei we say as part of tefillah b'tzibur. Even though our Gemara is teaching us the need for specification in tefillah, tefillah b'tzibur is powerful even without that type of specification. Says the Gemara, if all of the land owned by the landlord was destroyed, and this field was also destroyed. However, it's a situation, most of the area was not destroyed. What will be the halacha? Meaning, since most of the area was not destroyed, the tenant has no right to deduct from the rent. Idilma, or perhaps keeping the shtat of kula arisei, since all of the landlord's properties were destroyed, matzi amalei, the tenant could successfully argue, hay mishem lasach didachu. This property that got destroyed obviously is because of your bad luck, your bad mazel. The proof being, the mishtat because of the secha, all of your other fields have been destroyed. So it's a raya that this is because of your bad luck, and I should have a right to deduct from the rent. Answers the Gemara, mistabra, domalei. The landlord could successfully argue, im misham lasa the day. If what's going to determine what happened here is my luck, hamishtaili porta. Something would have been left for me. Because the pasuk says, "Kindeksif, kindesharnu me'at maharbei." Some was left. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always leaves something over. So you can't say it's my bad luck that caused even this field to be destroyed, because maybe this is the field that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have left over, not to leave me completely wiped out. So now ask the Gemara the other way. In the Shtat V'Kolso Daisuf Shachaiker, all of the fields of the tenant were destroyed. V'Shtatif Ruba Debaga, and also most of the fields in this area were destroyed. V'Shtatif Nami Habadai, this field was also destroyed. My, what is the halacha? Mir meaning, can we say, given the shtat of Ruba Debaga, since most of the fields here were destroyed, menakele, the tenant has a right to say that the rent should be deducted. Adilma, kivin the shtat of kula arasei, since all of the tenants' fields were destroyed, matz amle, the landlord could say, mishem losach tadachu, it's obvious that this field was destroyed because of your bad luck. The mishtat v'kos of the sayach, all of your fields were destroyed, and it's not because of a makas medina, and therefore you should have a right to deduct from the rent. Rather, it's your bad luck that caused this situation, and I, the landlord, should not have to suffer because of your bad luck. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra, it seems probable, the amale, that the landlord could say to the tenant, Mishim Lasachu, it's because of your bad luck, and I don't have to suffer by you deducting rent because of your bad luck. But ask the Gemara, Amai, why can't the tenant in this situation also say, Namele, Hochet Nami Namele, why can't the tenant here too be able to say, Imishim Lasai de Dihu, if it's because of my bad luck, Hamishaila Beperta, something would have been left over. And maybe indeed it would have been this field that would have been left over. Because didn't we just quote that the Pasuk says, the Kamakaimbi, perhaps this is the field that the Pasuk of Kinishanum at Maharbe would be fulfilled, and this is what would have been left for me? Answers the Gemara, Mishum to Amalei, because the landlord could counter, I have a chazal l'shtura l'chmidi. Yes, there is a pasuk of kinishanu mat maharbe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu always leaves over something, but he wouldn't have left over something that doesn't really belong to you. This isn't a piece of property that really belongs to you. Hamshtailach medenafshach. It would have left over for you something that belongs to you, not something that belongs to me. And in fact, I saw that the Mepharshim asked, the Rishonim already asked, what's the Gemara's Havamina that the tenant should be able to argue that I should be able to deduct from the rent because of the pasuk of Kinishanu Mat Maharbe? How does that pasuk make sense on a property that he doesn't really own? So Mepharshim explained, we have a concept that we've discussed numerous times of Amaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. And therefore here, the landlord is trying to extract rent from the tenant. So since the tenant is the one that's holding on to the money, perhaps even though there is an argument that Nishan Mat Maharbe should only be on property I own, not on property that I lease, perhaps I should still be able to say it. Teaches us the Gemara, no, that Nishan Mat Maharbe is only set on property that I own, not on property that I lease. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. The halacha is that if somebody sells a stei achuza, a field that he got b'yerusha, so the sale is a valid sale. However, that field that he sells will come back to him by yovel. But the halacha also is that if the seller wants to redeem and buy back that field that he sold, he has the right to do so. But there is one qualification that the Mishnah Masechta the Erechin teaches us. The seller cannot redeem that field unless before the buyer had the opportunity to be on the field for 2 years. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Hoyse shnash dofen v'yirokin, if those years that we just said that the buyer has to have the field for at least 2 years, a year that there was a wind, or yellowing, or was a Shemitah year, or Yishanim Kishnei Eliyahu, or there were years like in the time of Eliyahu that there was a drought for 3 years straight, then the halacha is Eina Oilei Min HaMinyan. Those type of years cannot be counted into the 2 year minimum that the buyer has to have it. Points out to Gemara. Tani, the Mishnah speaks about Shtofen v'Yirokin, and it's in the same type of situation, Dumya d'Shem K'shnei Eliyahu, similar to the situation in Eliyahu's time. Now says the Gemara, Mash Shnei Eliyahu v'Yavet through cloud. In the time of Eliyahu, there was an absolute drought. There was nothing for anybody. Af Hochi, Nami, for something to be considered Shtofen v'Yirokin, it has to be a situation to have a tefuah klal, that there is no tefuah anywhere. Aval de ikat tefuah, if there is tefuah somewhere, sakale, then it is going to be considered a valid year for the 2 year minimum. V'loy kaminin, and we don't consider the situation of makas medinahu. Yet an al gemara was saying that to be considered a makas medina, it doesn't have to be absolute, even if it's roiv of the place, or roiv of the fields around it. Al Gemara, Rav Yehuda and Ula said at the beginning of our shir that is already considered a situation of Makas Medina. How does that reconcile with what we learned in that Mishnah? Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Shani Hasam, Damakra, B'mispashnei Tfuois, Yamachalach. Torah says, Shanim Shiesh Ben Tfuah Ba'olam. As long as there's Tfuah anywhere in the world, that's good enough that you should be able to redeem. So the rules that apply over there are different than the rules that apply over here. Amalei, Rav Ash, Rav Kahana, ask Rav Ash, Rav Kahana. If now you're saying that as long as there's any Tfuah, it's already considered a situation that you could be, that it could be counted towards the 2 year minimum. The Shemitah year should be considered a year towards these 2 years. Because we have Tfuah Chutz La'aretz during the Shemitah year. Shemitah is only at Yisrael. And as Tosfos points out, the Gemara specifically asked the question from Shemitah only now. Because before we had the previous point, we would have thought that the Gemara says that if most of the place, that to be considered a situation that you can't have, that it can't count towards the years, it has to have a very strict interpretation. And therefore, it doesn't have to have a strict, it has to have a strict interpretation, and only if there's no Tfuah. But now that we're saying that only if there's no Tfuah at all, then is it considered a Makas Medina as far as Pidyon by Yovel is concerned. But if there is Tfuah, then the Torah is teaching us, that's Pshat in the Pasuk, then it's already not considered a problem towards being considered a year towards the redemption. If so, ask the Gemara, so how come Shvius, how come the Shemitah year can't be counted as one of those years? Yes, there is no Tfuah in Eretz Yisrael, but there's Tfuah in Chutz La'aretz. Amalei, the answer is you can't ask a question from Shemitah, because Shemitah of Kata de Malkihi, it's not considered his field, the Mefarshim explain. Because the Pasuk says, Hu Maichalach, and the Shemitah year, the field is not considered, explained the Rishayim, the field of the seller. Or it's not considered a field, a year of Tfuah in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's Hefker in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you can't count it towards the 2 year minimum. Ask the Gemara, if we considered Shemitah a year that there is no Tfuah, so now ask the Gemara another question. The halach is that if somebody is Magdish a Steichuza, the Torah teaches us a very specific formula for redemption. The Torah says that the maximum amount of years that this Hegdish could be valid is 49 years. Because let's say I was Magdashit immediately the year after Yovel, the next Yovel is going to be 50 years from now. So the maximum, and if it's not redeemed by then, it goes to the Kahanim. But let's focus if somebody was Magdashit immediately after Yovel. So he was Magdashit for 49 years. Where there the Torah says that it's not redeemed according to its value, yet the Torah sets a rate. The rate the Torah sets is a chamishim shekel, 50 shekel, for every area the size of a chaymer. The chaymer is a base core, an area of 75,000 square amos. And the Torah sets that rate. If it was sanctified, if we were Magdashit for 49 years, the example that I gave, was there the rate of redemption will be a seller or punyan per year. Because if you multiply a seller and punyan by 49, you'll have the 50 shekel. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Mazuchabere, there Mari Leravina, Elami Ato, Shvius, Leitaloi Menagarua, why will we make this calculation? Do we count that there's 49 years? Alama Tanan. Because how do we know, as I just said, that we counted it as if there's 49 years of work? Because we said that every year is worth a nice and seller punyan lashana, we should deduct 7 years, because in these 49 years, there are going to be 7 Shemitahs. And the Gemara just said that during the Shemitah year, nothing happens. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, Shani Hasam. And you can't bring a ride from there. The Chazya Lemish Tchaperi. You can use the field in the Shemitah year for something. It could be used to put out fruit. And therefore, it's not completely useless, and it could be considered a year and towards the redemption formula. Amishmu, so says Shmu, now that we said that the tenant, if there's a Makas Medina, has a right to deduct. Loy Shana El Zara B'Tzamcha, that he planted and the produce started to sprout. V'Ochel Chagav, and then insects came and ate it. Avaloy Zara Klal, if he didn't plant the area at all, Loy, then he doesn't have this heter. Domalei, because the landlord could say to the tenant, Ila Zarata, had you properly planted it, have Makaimbi, then the pasuk that says, Lo Yevosh be Meirah, Meirah v'n Yisboh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have helped that this field would have been successful. Ask the Mefarshim, why does he have to say that the pasuk that says that my fields would have been saved or would have been spared would have happened to this field? Why can't he say, as we said earlier in this year, that my tefillos for this field would have succeeded? So Mefarshim saying, this goes back to what we discussed earlier in this year, that here the field, when the landlord rented it out, they did not specify what kind of crop would have been planted in this field. As we said earlier in this year, since for the tefillah to be successful, you have to be very specific in your tefillah. Here the landlord could not have been specific in his tefillah, because he didn't specify what kind of crop should be planted, so he doesn't know what to daven for. So he doesn't have that power for tefillah, the tefillah which is a specific tefillah, to help him. So that could not have been his argument. What is his argument? It says in a brisa, if a shepherd was tending to his flock, and he ignores the flock and he comes to the city, and a wolf comes and he tears the animal and carries it off, or a lion comes and it devours the animal, like we explained many times. A wolf carries off its prey, a lion eats its prey right on the spot. We don't say that certainly if the shepherd would have been there, he would have saved it. We evaluate the situation. If according to our evaluation, had he properly been there, he would have been able to save the animal, then he's held liable. But even if he wouldn't have been there, then he's potter. Ask the Gemara, but my, why do we say so? Why don't we say, namely, why can't the owner say, Iavos Hasam, why can't the owner say to him, have Makayimbi, the pasuk that we find by David HaMelech, that says, Gamas Hari, Gamas Adoiv, Hika Avdoch, that David HaMelech was able to kill the lion and the bear. So why is he excused? Because he went away. Ask Taisus, that we learned earlier in our Masechta that the Mishnah says, has Riva Doif, if animals were attacked by a lion or by a bear, it's an oinus. Why don't we say, just like we said over here, that the shepherd would have been able to fight it off? So the answer is Taisus, that there is a situation that he was there, and he wasn't able to fight it off. Then it's considered an oinus. But here, we don't know. Perhaps if he would have been there, he would have been able to fight it off, and therefore the landlord should be able to have a claim against him for going away. Answers the Gemara, Mishum de Amalei, because the shepherd can respond, Nisim, if I would have been worthwhile for a nest, then a different nest would have happened to me. Then the next that happened to Rabbi Chanina Medoisa would have happened. The Masin isn't Dover B'Karnayu, where goats carried bears on their horns. So Gemara Masech the Tainus. The Gemara Masech the Tainus, Tav Chof Hei Amin Aleph, mentions this story. There was somebody who left a chicken in front of Rabbi Chanina Medoisa's home. Rabbi Chanina Medoisa, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, did the proper thing. He took those chickens into his home. He lived in a small home, and the chickens were all having more chickens, and it was a difficult situation. So he sold the chicken and bought a goat. And he said, if the owner of the chicken will come, I'll give him back the goat. And that's what happened. But people were saying that Reb Chanina ben Daisa was allowing that goat to graze in other people's fields. So to show that that wasn't true, he said the following. I'm going to send out the goat. If it's attacked by bears, it's right that I did the wrong thing. But if on the other hand, it carries the bears back, it's a riot that they never grazed in anyone's fields. And that's indeed what happened. The goats came back carrying the bears on their horns. So what the tenant here is arguing, if I was worthy of a nace, then this should have been the nace that could have happened. And in fact, I sort of first should point out, from here we see that we never know what kind of a nace a person can have. I sort of first should ask, if so, that this is the greater nace, so why did the pasuk say that David had to prevail over the lion and the bear? It could have been even a bigger nace when David happened to David. So Farshim answered that David didn't wait for that nace. As soon as he saw the lion and the bear, he attacked them. Another pshat is, we want the pasuk, the whole purpose of that story was to show David's great strength, and that the way it was shown was by David being able to prevail over the lion and the bear. Says the Gemara, for Neimalei, but the owner could say back to the shepherd, Ned in Lisa Rabbo Leva Chazina. Indeed, maybe to a great nace, like the animals fighting off other animals, that kind of nace you weren't worthy to. However, Lenisa Zuta, for a smaller nace, that if you would have been there, you could have fought them off. Chazina, maybe that nace I was deserving, and therefore you shouldn't be able to make a claim, says the Gemara. Kasha, this is indeed a kasha. This is indeed a kasha. Tani Chada, says the Braisa. Pam Rishona Vishniya Zara, the first and the second time the tenant has to plant the field and try, and if it's still not succeeding, it could be a situation of a Max Medina. And therefore, Shlishis and Azara, he doesn't have to plant it. But there's another Braisa that says, Shlishis Zara, you have to try, the tenant has to try to plant it three times, Revius a fourth time, and Azara. So how do we reconcile these two Braises? Says the Maraloi Kasha. Hak Rebbe, one Braisa reflects the opinion of Rebbe, Hak Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, and the other Braisa reflects the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Hak Rebbe, the Braisa that says you only have to try to plant it two times is following the opinion of Rebbe, Dom Betrezim, Neav Chazakam. It's a Gemara that we learned in Masechti Yevamos. The Gemara in Masechti Yevamos says that if a woman keeps on getting married and her husband dies, she should not get married again. She's considered a katlonis. So Rebbe's opinion is that if she just got married two times, she's already considered a katlonis. Hakrif Shimon Gamliel, Dom Betlasim, Neav Chazakam, you need three times. Here too, that would be the Machlokes, two or three times. How many times does the tenant have to try to plant before he can have an excuse that there was a Makas Medina? Says the Gemara, Amar of the Shlokish, Loi Shana El Shazar of Tzamcha. The situation here is only where he planted and something grew, and then Achla Chagav, and then it was attacked by the insects. Ava Zar of Tzamcha, if he planted it and nothing grew, Mats Amalei Bal Karka, the owner of the field could say, Kol Yumei Zera, all the days of the planting, you have the obligation to Zarla V'Ozel, you have to continue planting till you plant it maybe at the right time that it will succeed. Ask the Gemara Amos, how long does that go on that it's considered the time that it's the planting season that he has the right to make such a demand of the tenant? Amra Papa, Ad Osarisa Medavra, the Kimer Rishayu, when the sharecroppers come from the field and the constellation Kima is over the head. And to try to explain this briefly, the zodiac, which are the constellations of stars in the sky, there are 12 zodiacs, there are 12 mazalos, there are 12 constellations, there are 12 mazalos. Telesh, Shor, Tumim, Sartan, Aryeh, Besula, Maznayim, Akrov, Keshes, Gdi, Dali, and Dogim. Every day, the sun comes up, and it travels through the sky around the 12 mazalos. 2 hours each mazal. And 12 times 2 equal the 24 hours of the day. The difference between the 12 mazalos is that every month a different mazal comes up when the sun comes up in the morning. So if we say that the mazal of the first month of the year, the mazal of Chodesh Nissan, is mazal Tleh, which means, because it's called mazal Tleh because that constellation of stars look like a lamb, that's because in Nisan, when the sun comes up, it travels the first 2 hours of the day through the mazal Tleh. And so in Iyar, the next mazal is the first mazal of the day. And it goes through the entire sky. That way, six of the mazalos therefore function during the day, and six of the mazalos function by night. In Chodesh Adar, in the month of Adar, the mazal that comes up at the beginning of the day is Dogim. That's the first 2 hours of the day. The second 2 hours of the day is mazal Tleh, because as we said, it goes in a cycle. The end of mazal Tleh is a sub-constellation of the mazal Tleh, is Kima. And Kima is the tail of the Tleh, which is at the end of that mazal. So if we say at the first 2 hours, which is let's say from 6 to 8 in Odor, there's mazal Tleh, the next 2 hours is mazal Dogim, the next 2 hours are mazal Tleh, and at the end, which is the 10th hour, we have mazal Kima. That's till when Arisim should work. In other words, the Gemara said that fields should be planted until Adar. And therefore, to explain again what Shmuel is saying that tenants have to continue working on the field until Adar, planting the field, and if until then nothing happens, then they have a right to claim Makas Medina. Ask the Gemara, is the halacha that they have to keep on working so late into the year? Meisvei, how do we look at the seasons of the year? Chatzi Tishri and Machezri v'chatzi Kislev are Zera, are the planting season. Chatzi Kislev Tevis v'chatzi Shvat Chayrif are the winter season. Chatzi Shvat Ad v'chatzi Nisan Kar are the cold season, because they're the end of the winter, and the Gemara says the end of the winter is tougher than the beginning of the winter. Chatzi Nisan Ayer v'chatzi Sivan Kotzer is the harvest season. Chatzi Sivan Tamas v'chatzi Av Kayetz is the summer season. Chatzi Av El v'chatzi Tishrei Chaim is the hot season. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't begin from the middle of Tishrei. He begins from Tishrei, from the beginning of Tishrei. And Rabbi Shimon Maina, he doesn't begin from the middle of Tishrei. He begins from the beginning of Marchezvin. Says the Gemara, man make a bakula. Who's the one that starts the season the latest? Rav Shimon. And according to him, it's only Cheshvin, Kislev, and Tevis, but not through Adar. So how can we say that they have to continue planting through Adar? Bakula hai loy kamer. He didn't go so far as into Adar. Answers the Gemara loy kasha. Had the kabbalim nei becharfi. If the tenant agreed to plant crops early. So early crops are planted even at the latest Cheshvin, Kislev, Tevis. Ha, the Kevel Menei Vafli. But if the tenant agreed to plant late crops are planted through Adar. Rabbi Yehuda said, we learned in the Mishnah, in Kibbutz Menei B'Mos, if the tenant agreed to pay cash, then he never has an excuse of Makas Medina. Says the Gemara, who gathered the kib? Aro l'mizbar betumei. A tenant agreed to plant garlic. A good in the Har Malkasova, next to the river of Malkasova. Bezuzei, and he agreed to pay cash as rent. and then that river got diverted and he wasn't able to use the river for irrigation. It's uncommon that this river should be diverted, and therefore Rava said it's a situation of Max Medinahi, and Zil Nakale, you have a right to deduct from the rent. Omle Rabban La Rava for Nantanan, then we learn in our Mishnah that Rehuda Oimim Kibli Men of Bemos, that if he agreed to pay money, then Benkach and Benkach, Eim and Nakalim and Chakuroi, that isn't a right to deduct from the rent. Omle, Lester Chashla de Rehuda, we don't agree with Rehuda's position, and even if he pays with rent, there's a Makas Medina, he has a right to deduct from the rent. Says the Mishnah, Makabul Sada Mechaveroi, if somebody leases a property from somebody else, Basar Kochitim Lashana, with the agreement that he's going to give 10 kores of chit per year, Veloksa, and then the crop was affected, Naisla Metaychai, he gives him that crop, even though it's poor quality. Hayechita Yofis, if the wheat crop was a very good crop, Lo Yaimeloi, the tenant shouldn't say to the landlord, Harena Lekeich Menashuk, I'm going to buy wheat, but I'm not going to give you such great quality wheat. Al Naisla Metaychai, he has to give him wheat that grew from the field. Says the Gemara, who gave the kabel arvel aspasa? There was a person, a tenant, who leased a field with the intention to grow aspasa. B'chayu desari, but he agreed to pay barley as the rent. Of the aspasa, the land produced aspasa. V'charsha v'zarasari. Afterwards, after it produced the aspasa, for the next crop, he plowed the field and planted aspasa. Velokahani planted barley. However, the barley was a poor quality barley. Shalcha Rav Chaviv Masur de Pras Lakam Darvina. Ke Gavna Mai. What is the halacha in this situation? Kilok Se Noislam Etaychadami. Can he give the landlord the poor quality barley from the landlord's field? Aloy. Amalei Midami. Hasam Loi Avda Shlichus Arish Shlichus Namara. In the case of the Mishnah, the land was didn't act properly for its owner. It didn't perform properly for its owner. The owner wanted it to perform and produce good crops, and it didn't. Hacha avda arish lichus namara. Here, when the spasa was planted, it was good spasa. He went and planted barley, and it was poor barley. The landlord can't be held responsible. Says the Gemara. Who gave the kabel paradis mechavri? Somebody leased a vineyard for somebody else. Baser darad chamra, for 10 barrels of wine. Talk about chamra, the wine came out spoiled. Sorav kanal meima, hainam asnitzin. That again, he thought that that's the case of our Mishnah, where it says, loksa nois lemetaychai. You give him the property, the produce of the field. Omle, Ravashi. So again, Ravashi argued. Mi dummy, hoslein abdar al-stuchusai. In our Mishnah, when the land produced an inferior crop, so the landlord should suffer. Hacha avda arish l'chusay, it produced good grapes. The wine is the wine that was spoiled, and therefore the landlord shouldn't suffer. However, Maider of Ashi, therefore of Ashi will agree that if the grapes were poor grapes, benvi de katkum, grapes that have worms in them, or besada shloks b'mereh, or where the grain was damaged while still in the sheaves, there the tenant could give the landlord the poor quality, and the landlord has no right to protest.